place.
Welcome to the Collective Space.
A space for you,
me,
and everyone.
Welcome to the Collective Space.
Dun, 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 dun. In studio today, we have a studio owner.
What's happening right
now? I don't know. Congratulations, my friend.
What?
Should we start?
Are we recording? I'm over here just like checking my phone, like just letting you do your thing over there.
It's not abnormal for me just to bust down to a song, is it?
I guess not. I wanted to bring the mic closer than I didn't know this was happening. It's happening.
Yes, yeah, so big news since the last time we talked, when we had our lovely guest Brooke in studio with us.
What day was that, I wonder? I was just thinking about that.
It was Wednesday, because we were talking about hump day. Remember? Hump day!
Yeah, and it was a great insert on that last podcast.
It's one of my favorites.
But what... It was like... I'm trying to think of what day it was, though, exactly, because I knew it was coming up, and it was hard for me not to talk about it.
You did. A little sneaker.
Yeah.
Sneaker?
Yeah.
Stinker.
Well, you knew, too.
I did.
But we just couldn't share it. So what Casey and I are talking about is I am opening a studio. You have a studio.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
It's a huge deal.
It is.
That's a huge venture for you as a woman, but it's also, I mean, that's going to be a huge contribution to our community of Ventura, and that's really exciting. So please, tell us.
Yeah, it's super exciting that we can talk about it now.
Yes.
Because I have been, you know, talking about it to friends and, you know, kind of just like hinting at it for the past couple months, but haven't been able to like officially talk about it, and it's been like driving me crazy. I'm just like, oh, I just can't wait till it's official so I can talk about it. And then July 1st I signed a lease, so I was like, all right, I'm free now. Woo! I can talk about it. Yeah, so signed the lease July 1st. The studio will be called Grassroots Yoga, so merging off of the park stuff. So we are officially no more Ventura Grassroots Yoga. We are officially just Grassroots Yoga, no more Ventura. So we're in there and hoping to open in the fall.
Okay.
So we do have a timeline. I won't say the month because it could change and I don't want people to be attached as I am.
You're like, please.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. I'm so proud and happy for you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting journey and a long journey and a crash course in business.
Mm-hmm.
I started looking into it early April and kind of just feeling into it.
Yeah.
And the community was, I've had so much support from the community and my friends and family. And that's really where this came from, this whole idea, because I never wanted this. I don't want to say that, but I wasn't setting out for this.
Yeah.
I mean, I try now in my life to not be so like, oh, I need to be this person and I need to do this and do this.
To allow things to unfold.
I've really kind of learned to just kind of let things happen as they
are meant to.
And so that's kind of been my mentality. So it's not to say that I never wanted to own a yoga studio, but, you know, I just was like, I don't know what my future's like, but I'm just going to continue to work hard and whatever is meant to be will kind of unfold. And it certainly has. So, like, the community has, you know, wanted me to do this. And I, of course, doubted myself. And then I just explored options and I just kind of, like, asked around. And, again, the community kept coming to me, well, you know, open a studio. And I'm like, well, I don't know the first thing about like finances. I don't know how to like do any of that. Well, I'll do it for you, you know, like, or I know someone who will, or like, let me help, let me show you. And so the community has been really supportive in terms of like, what do you need? Let me help you. Mm-hmm. And I have taken like almost everybody up on that offer. I'm like, next day, I'm like, so remember last night when you said you wanted to help me like learn how to do this or that? But I really just allowed myself to get that help and support. And it's really it's really like paid off.
Beautiful, yeah. Well, and that's what a community is about, right? I mean, we've talked so much about what community means to us, and this is almost kind of a testament to that, to the simple fact that, you know, here you are doing something and people want to be a part of it. And it's a coming together of all of that hard work and effort. But I mean, you know, it's obviously your vision and this momentum that you've built, and you're creating the opportunities for people to take part. You know, it's really awesome.
Yeah, it's, I mean, my whole focus is community, and that's really important to me. And yoga happens to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But in my eyes, yoga and community are kind of just interchangeable, because yoga is about the coming together.
Connecting.
And community is the life we live as human beings. Like, we are a community, and we are a community by nature, and we should live as such and embrace that.
Certainly.
So that's really my goal and focus. And so if the goal of the studio is going to be about community, then I want the community to be, have a voice in the process going into it.
Yeah.
You know, even though I am the owner or whatever and making the sole decisions, like, I still want the community to feel a part of the studio as well. And so I've really taken people up on, like, their offers, you know, if they want to be a part in some way, if they want to drive a sledgehammer through the wall during demo, they can come by and do that, you know. And
can I help?
anybody that wants to come by.
Yeah.
But I don't know where I was going with this, but just, yeah, community. It's all for about community.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, though, as you're, you know, starting off on this business venture. I've been taking a course through an amazing nonprofit, and it's specifically geared for people or women. It's called Women Economic Ventures, and it's a nonprofit to help those be empowered to create their own business, or, you know, to reach a point in their life where they can get the support they need. And that too is about community. It's a, you know, organization specifically geared for our community. And so I've been taking this for the past, I don't know, month or two, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny, because it's like, hearing you talk, I'm like, it's beautiful. Like, you're really doing things in a good way. You know, like, we talked, like, we talked like an hour and a half before we started talking on the podcast.
Yeah.
We were saying, you know, like, understanding, we're doing a SWOT analysis, so strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And so it's really learning of yourself. And that's what my instructor, she's amazing. And she says, you know, this course is really going to be about learning yourself, so that you can then forecast and see how you're going to be as a business owner. And it's just, it's kind of cool to have this perspective of looking at you and seeing you go through this process, and, you know, you discovering things about yourself and having learned a lot about yourself, you know, over the course of these, I don't know, how long has it been?
Since when?
What do you mean? I don't know, just seeing you, like, this past year, just, you know, go through a challenging time, and then really just learning a lot about yourself and just being strong. Like, I really look up to you. I think you're kind of amazing. Just, just to tell you that.
Thanks.
I think I've told you that in, like, text messages a lot, but I, like, send you the Beyonce GIF, and I'm like, yeah, girl, go get it.
Oh, the GIFs are great.
Thanks. I love GIFs.
Yeah, yeah. We love GIFs, and we get a little carried away.
We do, but it's great.
Well, thank you, and you're also amazing and inspiring.
Thank you.
And, I've come to a point in my life where I have, like, admitted to my weaknesses and understand my strengths.
Yeah.
And I think we were talking about this too, where it's, like, good to just be honest with yourself, because the things that I know that I am not good at in this process, I'm hiring people to do it for me. You know, like, I don't know how to do all of the financial forecasting and the analyzing. I can do, like, basic budgeting and I can follow directions and, you know, be wise, but I don't know how to, like, analyze at the end of the month or whatever, you know, any of that. So the point is, I hired someone to do it for me.
For sure.
And there are a couple other things where, you know, it's just like, no, I'm just going to, like, trust this person to do it for me. And I think that's the key in being a leader, is being able to trust people to make decisions on your behalf. Like, being able to sit with someone and go over your vision and what you want, and then being able to trust that they can make decisions on that behalf and not on their behalf, is you know, key, I think, in owning a business.
For sure.
And, well, see, I've never owned a business before. Well,
yeah, but you're in the process of it, you know?
Yeah.
And you are.
I mean, I've led, I've managed people.
Yes.
And that's a big part of it, too. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I've managed a department. And it takes a lot to, like, trust your employees mm-hmm. that they're going to get it done. And because if they don't, it reflects on you in the end. And so, like, being able to find the right people is key.
Yeah, so the right team, the right community.
The right team. Yeah, so having the right team. And I have an amazing team behind me. And what I love most about the team behind me is that a lot of us were born and raised here. Mm-hmm. My contractor is good friends with my husband.
Yeah.
And they went to high school together, which I think is really cool.
Awesome.
The contractor's Meridian, by the way. So Justin Shipp and then his girlfriend, Sarah Masterson.
So funny. Justin Shipp is awesome.
And Sarah and I have known each other for a while, too.
Cool.
And so she's helping out with some of, like, the design and stuff like that.
Fun.
And so I think that's really neat, too, to bring people into the process that are a big part of the community mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I've loved about Ventura, being from here, both you and I. Like, you understand, you know, I always remember my parents telling me growing up, you know, Ventura's a really small town. So whatever you do, like, especially the things you don't want us to find out about, just don't do them because we will. Like, that's just how Ventura is, you know.
It's
still a small town in the fact that, you know, I don't know. It's not that you have to be cautious, but because we all make mistakes and we're on all, you know, shitheads. I can say that word. We can all be shitheads at times in our lives, but, you know, your reputation does mean something still here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't just be, it's like not LA in the sense that people don't know who you are. Like, people do know who you are.
Yeah. And I agree, you know, it's a different mentality.
Absolutely.
When you're in a big city, you can kind of maybe do things the way you want and then just kind of slink off, and maybe no one, it's such a big city, no one really, like, knows or cares. But here, you know, we're a very supportive community.
Yeah.
And I love our community, and I love the support that I've gotten.
Yeah.
And it's been really, really nice to, like, see people, like, support. I mean, people have been so amazing to me on all different levels, even just, like, sending me messages, sending me text messages, how happy they are for me and how supportive they are. Mm-hmm. And it's just been really, really amazing because I can't do this alone.
No one can.
I mean, have to do this with you guys.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny. I have good friends, you know them, Rebecca and Kohala Wolf. They've helped me do a lot of healing and growing, and they have oftentimes reminded me, being like, well, you're being supported, you're being, you know, these good things are happening to you because you are that as well. Does that make sense? So, like, what I'm trying to tell you is, this is maybe from what I've learned from my dear friends, I love you guys if you're listening, but is to just remind you, Sarah, that it's a reflection of the person you are and the woman that you are. Does that make sense? Like, these good things wouldn't be coming towards you, or this support wouldn't really be coming to you if you weren't a woman of integrity or a woman of respect, or, you know, even kind for that matter, or, you know, just really true to your word. Because bottom line is people, we smell bullshit. I mean, have you ever smelled bullshit? It smells horrible. Like, literally, bullshit is no joke smelly. But
haven't you ever driven through the grapevine?
Yeah,
it smells terrible for, like, 5 miles.
Oh my god, it's
like
awful.
Close your vents.
Yeah, but even we go back, and we've talked about this in podcasts before, as being a yoga teacher. If you're talking about a pose you've never done, or that you don't know, or you're talking about a philosophy you haven't personally necessarily experienced, or you're kind of bullshitting your way through it, like, the class is going to be funky.
Yeah.
You know, the students are going to...
They're going to know.
It's going to be weird, you know? So I just wanted to maybe remind you that, you know, like, I could imagine being a business owner or endeavoring into such a big thing like this, that it could be scary and you could doubt yourself. But also remember, you know, the good things that are going to happen are also from the hard work you've done. So don't forget that either, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I remind myself of that, too.
Yeah.
And it goes back to, I think, what we've talked about, you know, many times on the podcast together, is that what it all comes down to is just, like, live your truth.
Yeah.
Your truth.
Yeah.
Not so-and-so's truth, not Patanjali's truth, not Thich Nhat Hanh, not the Dalai Lama. Live your truth.
Yeah.
Find out what your truth is and fucking live by it every day.
Yes.
You know, and there are going to be challenges mm-hmm. where it's like, am I doing the right thing? And it's like, well, the right thing is, are you living your truth? Mm-hmm. And then you're doing the right thing. So for me, I reflect back on like a challenging piece of my life this past year, and I basically made the decision to live by my truth and stand up for my truth, because mm-hmm. I felt like if I didn't, I wasn't living my truth. Mm-hmm. And if I hadn't, then who knows where I would have ended up, mm-hmm. you know? But I stood up for myself just every day that I woke up and was like, am I doing the right thing? Should I change? Nope. Just keep being me. Just keep telling the truth. Just keep living. Just keep doing what I think is right. And ultimately, at the end of the day, here I am, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And it didn't really go as I expected it to at the time. But ultimately, it paid off, because I'm in such a, like, an amazing part of my life right now. And I just never imagined that I'd be doing this.
Yeah. And the possibilities are endless, you know? I mean, yeah. grassroots yoga. I mean, the word itself, grassroots, is really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
So the grassroots, you know, it's like for the people, by the people, you know, it starts on the grassroots level.
Yeah.
Supporting each other from within.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I love that.
I do too.
And my friend helped me choose that name. I feel like I've talked about, I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast. Probably not, because I didn't have a studio or I wasn't talking about it at the
but
time.
I think you and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
Deja vu.
Where it's funny, because when I started the park stuff, I wanted to call it like Yoga in the Park.
Mm-hmm.
I just want I wanted that to be like my name. And then it was like Taken. And I was like, no. I was like so mad. I was like, no. I was like so stuck on that name. I was like, damn, I want that name. That sucked. And I was all down. And my friend was like, well, what about grassroots? And I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. Yeah, that works. And I'm so glad it worked out that way,
mm-hmm.
because I wouldn't be able to have this like transition that I am now, where I'm like keeping the name essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I was always Yoga in the Park and now I'm going to be a yoga studio.
Yoga in the Park, but in a studio.
Yeah, I can't call it like Yoga in the Studio,
yeah.
you know, or like Yoga in the Park at a studio.
Exactly.
It wouldn't have worked.
Nope.
So it was all meant to be.
Exactly.
Right. And so I picked the name Grassroots, and I'm glad I did, because now it's kind of sticking and growing into something else, evolving mm-hmm. into something else, which is kind of neat to reflect on.
For sure. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So demolition is starting in a couple weeks.
Yeah. So
hoping to be open in fall.
In fall. Yeah. So we should start demoing here in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished the floor plans.
And so location?
The location is 2280 East Main Street.
Woo-hoo.
So it is next to Mission Animal Hospital. We share a building with them.
And it's also by a donut store.
It's by, let me just tell you, people. The plaza next to us has a donut store.
Uh-huh.
A, like, Mexican food store.
Yep.
And a pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
And Valentino's, the pizza place, just leased the space next... Did I tell you this already?
No.
They leased the space next to them. It used to be, a liquor store and then a smoke shop.
Yeah.
They leased that space. So Valentino's is going to move into that space. It's bigger. And I think they're going to be like a full pizza thing.
Oh, fun.
And then the old Valentino's, the little, you know, they're like really
yeah.
tiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a coffee and yogurt shop.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So, because the other day, I went and got a donut,
mm-hmm.
and I peep and tommed into your window, and was like, oh my God, this is going to be where it's at. And
which
I was like super excited.
You won't be able to do for much longer.
I know.
We're going to board that shit up.
Okay.
After hearing you talk, no.
Oh, I'm so
kidding.
Sorry.
No,
God,
no, no,
creepy,
no, no.
I swear.
No.
No, but I was like, man, this is going to be a good deal. I'm going to be able to enjoy some donuts.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to put in a word to the donut store and be like, you might want to get some like healthy options over here.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here a lot, and I'm
yeah,
going to want to make sure that it's like,
yeah.
helping me out a little
Can
bit.
Can I make a spinach donut anytime soon?
Yeah,
ew.
Ew.
Kale donut.
Don't even think about
no.
it.
No. Let's just have them stick to the pink.
Just good old.
The pink.
Actually, I like the chocolate ones. The chocolate on chocolate on chocolate. Like it's like
oh,
chocolate
you like
frosting.
The double chocolate?
I do.
Hmm.
It's bad.
I don't know. I'm not into it.
Or glazed or old fashioned glazed.
Old fashioned.
Bomb.
Old fashioned is
maple
my jam.
Glazed.
Maple.
Mm.
Okay,
this is making me way too hungry.
I used to go on like really long runs. I mean, my dad and I'd be like, Dad, after this, I'm just going to get a Boston cream donut.
Nice.
The kind with like the custard
mm-hmm,
filling.
Mm-hmm.
They're really gnarly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyways.
So it's a great location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Parking, it's going to be an awesome studio.
Yeah, it's got a little parking lot, and then it's so it's on the, technically on the corner of Main and Jordan Street. Mm-hmm. And Jordan has like ample parking because the residential doesn't start till like a quarter of the way down. Mm-hmm. So then there's parking on Jordan. We have a little parking lot, and we're going to put in a bike rack. Cool. So people can ride their bikes because it's pretty centrally located to residential.
It's literally like a couple blocks from my house.
That's what everyone says. It's so funny. Everyone's like, that's right by my house. I'm like, I think we all live there. And even for me, it's only a mile away from my house. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool.
Heck yeah.
And yeah, so I'll go over kind of like the gist of what we're going to have. Cool. And what we're going
to
offer.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
So we're going to have a nice little retail space. I feel like Ventura's lacking like a fitness wear mm-hmm. spot, and I fitness studios have them, and you can, it's like kind of interspersed throughout the city where you can like go shopping for fitness clothes. Mm-hmm. But like if you go up to Westlake or Santa Barbara and like go to their yoga studios, like Core Power Yoga, or like even I've driven up to all the way to Westlake to go to Pure Bar, and not to take a class, but to shop there mm-hmm. because Pure Bar has an amazing clothing selection. Like, it's just like awesome. Mm-hmm. It's like heaven for us fitness people or like yoga people to like go there. You're like, oh my God, so many clothes. And so that's lacking here. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to expand on that. We won't have a lot of retail at first because that's its own animal. Mm-hmm. And I won't have the staff at first for that, and I won't have the time to do it myself. So we'll have some merchandise at first, as much as I can handle. But then my vision is that within like a year or two, to have like a full blown like boutique, like a fitness boutique, where you can find, you know, the latest aloe or the latest Beyond Yoga or Manduka or mm-hmm. whatever it may be. And I do want to carry options for both. So I don't want to carry just $150 leggings. I also want a more inexpensive and affordable brand too.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of like a variation.
Awesome.
So that's part of my vision. And then there will be like a little lounge space. So like a third space for people to kind of hang out and gather and whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
I'll have like a little area with water and tea and a fridge with, I want some local beverages in there. Mm-hmm. So like some cold brews and maybe some kombuchas, awesome. All from the community. Mm-hmm. So anybody that, you know, has any ideas, or if you make any cold brews, or anything like that, you know, let me know. Mm-hmm. So the actual studio, the practice studio, is I think it'll probably be around like a 40 person studio. Mm-hmm. That'll be like mat to mat.
Yeah.
But comfortably probably like 35, and then heated floors. So it will be a heated studio. It's not going to be a hot yoga studio. Mm-hmm. There is a difference. Huge difference. So the heated is just really for me to be able to control the temperature of the studio.
Yeah.
So that when it's like winter, it's not
cold,
freezing, and that I'm not using, I'm not heating the air.
Yeah. Because
that's really drying.
Yes.
And so the using the floor heating system creates a more radiant heat. It's a more like natural, it's really cozy too. Mm-hmm.
And it helps with practice as far as like just getting in the body faster. Mm-hmm. It's like your body remembers and you can start sweating and you get that good satisfaction of feeling like, okay, so I just did a great yoga practice, but I also really just got a good detox in and, you know, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, bodies exciting. Do better under like warmer conditions. Mm-hmm. And so
muscles, tendons, being able to relax, release,
And the park is one thing because the park classes are really fairly like light. We mm-hmm. keep it pretty like light. It's more just like fun and accessible. But in the studio, it's a different atmosphere where we will be offering classes for people to like advance their postures mm-hmm. or like push themselves a little more. And you don't necessarily want people pushing themselves in like a cold environment.
Yeah.
And it's not to knock on studios that don't have heat.
For sure.
at all, but just like what calls to me is
absolutely is the and this heated. Is yeah for sure
and I love practicing in, I know we in too. Heat
yeah
and
I'm all the sweatier the better
the sweatier the better yeah and I mean the power of vinyasa lineage that you and I Casey mm-hmm. That you and I learn from is built on like that sweat and that full workout mm-hmm. like yes you're there for the workout, yes, you're there for spiritual, but like you want the whole package.
Yeah.
You want the cardio.
Beautiful combination of it all.
You want the muscle building. Mm-hmm. You want the stretching. Like you kind of get it all mm-hmm. in that lineage. And so typically power vinyasa is taught in a heated environment.
Yeah.
So it kind of just goes hand in hand.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So heated floors. We're going to put some skylights in.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the skylights. And then in the back, we'll have locker rooms with showers. So okay. people can come in before class and go to work or come in on their lunch break.
Yeah.
And then the biggest part of grassroots yoga, and this was a huge part of my vision, was the giving back. So we will be giving back 5% of our revenue to local charities.
That's awesome.
Always and forever. That was
always and forever. Yeah. Isn't that a song?
You'll have to look into that.
I'm gonna have to.
And you're gonna plug it in.
I'm gonna.
If it's real.
Always and forever. Each moment with you is just like a dream to me. That somehow came
true. Here we go. But yeah, that was a huge part of my vision at first, and I made it very clear to everybody involved, my financial analyst, the investors, that was a part of my vision that was not going to, because you know when you're putting together the back end of everything, you throw everything out there, and then you kind of have to like start taking stuff away when it doesn't work, and that was something that.
You weren't willing to compromise with, yeah.
So that was from day one. I'm like, look, if it's not going to work, then the studio is not going to work. So we were able to work it in so that we would be projected to be a profitable company and still give back. And so that's really important to me.
Huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's huge.
It'll be very transparent too. So I want the community to know where their money's going, and you know, I'll have it on the website or wherever else. Letting people know, like, hey, this quarter, this is where the money is going. This is where we're giving back, and I want to do things with those charities throughout the way. You know, do little mixers or have them come in, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe kind of like a spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful plan. That's a beautiful idea.
Yeah, it's huge to me to give back,
and
I've benefited from giving. Like we all benefit from giving, mm-hmm. and if people can. Indirectly give back, like by just, if they already have a yoga practice, why not go somewhere where you can have a yoga practice and
know that you're giving back.
Know that you're giving back. So it's like, let me do the work for you. You just come to my studio and I'll give back on your behalf. And so that's kind of like where I was going with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that one charity that's going to be an in-house charity is Rack Life.
Okay.
If you've ever heard of it.
No, I have not.
Rack Life. So RAK, so Random Acts of Kindness.
Aww.
And a local charity run by a dear friend of mine that I've known since high school. And he started it and started going around the country doing random acts of kindness for like those that in need, whether it's like mm-hmm. building orphanages or wells or... whatever, he's been doing that for a few years, and now he's bringing it more into a more like localized
Aww.
Scene, and so they'll kind of be our in-house charity. So a portion of the 5% will go to Rack Life, always and you know forever, and then and then the other portion will go to a chosen charity or nonprofit of the like probably like quarter. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
But probably
that's a good amount of time.
Probably
yeah.
quarter.
Yeah.
It'll be on a quarterly basis, whether it's like a local charity or maybe even just a family that's been hit really hard and needs help.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the opportunities to give back in whatever capacity or what that looks like, I mean, it's endless, really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of cool that it will be, like, you'll be able to show up for someone or something in a major way.
Yeah.
And
get a yoga practice.
Yeah. Like, that's awesome. That's really, really cool. I did not know that about your business and mm-hmm. your vision.
Yes. Yes. That's a big part of the vision.
That's very awesome.
And yes, the what else? So I wanted to keep it very, very Ventura, very local vibe. So the design of the studio is based on Ventura's ecology. So it'll have so the color scheme is going to be very coastal desert. Mm-hmm. You know, the colors will be earthy with some blues because we do live by the ocean.
Yep.
And then the design, the vibe of the studio is just going to be, well, what's Ventura like? You know, we have sand, we've got sandstone.
Mm-hmm.
We have chaparral, mm-hmm. you know, like we have sagebrush, and we do have palm trees. They're not native to California.
Sure.
But they are essentially native to Ventura now that they live here.
Yeah. Hi, palm trees.
Hey, welcome. But yeah, so the whole design of the studio is going to be very like Ventura based. Like,
that's awesome.
Native plants, native flowers, native colors. I wanted to just have like a really local vibe.
Yeah, that is so cool. And that's kind of neat just for future vision. This is called, I learned this in my business class.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I forget the term. I'll enter it later. But where you can look forward to building your business later down the road, and grassroots can take the form of whatever town that it's in
mm-hmm.
and essentially represent that town or that community.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, part of the reason I dropped the Ventura from the grassroots because it was mm-hmm. like, well, energetically, that's a little inhibiting. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I ever wanted to franchise or grow, like, I would want to keep it grassroots.
Absolutely.
And although there are other, I mean, grassroots is not the most original name ever.
Yeah.
And there are some studios. I think there's like one in New Mexico. Trust me, we had to find out. There's one in New Mexico.
You did your research.
There's one in Canada. My attorney did. Again, I hire people to do the work.
Yeah.
I'm not taking on
that
task.
It takes a team, man.
I let him look and tell me if I was all good. But yeah, there's a couple. None in California, though. So I went with it. And yeah, so anyways, I don't know what I was saying, but
that's awesome.
Yeah, keeping a local vibe.
I love it. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait to practice there.
Yeah, I can't wait to practice there too.
I know. That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really been surreal mm-hmm. to be in there. And it used to be a salon, so it still looks like a salon in there.
Yep.
So if any of you guys get to it before it's covered up, which probably not, because I think it's getting covered up.
I did not ruin your chances, people. No, I did, because I'm a creep.
Get it now. get it while it's hot. But yeah, so once we start demolition, we will be, you know, blocking the windows
for
off.
Sure.
But, you know, if you want to take a peek in, it was a salon before, so mm-hmm. it's going to look very, very different.
Vastly different.
It's going to look a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll look pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's nice and big. Which is exciting,
big, yeah.
A lot of space to work with. And I'm just really excited to bring kind of a new, fresh vibe to the yoga community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the more yoga, the better in my eyes. I don't think there are enough yoga studios around. And there's also another yoga studio opening called the Beach House.
Yes.
And it's opening on, I'll give her a little plug, Thompson and Palm. And I went by and met her, and she's really, really nice and super cool chick, and it looks like it's going to be a rad space, and it's going to be a little yoga studio with a juice bar and nut milk shop next door.
That sounds so lovely.
Yeah. And so I'm just happy that there's going to be more studios, you know, and more support, because as a studio owner, we want to be a part of a community too,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be able to come together with other studio owners, whether it be yoga or fitness, and like be like, hey, we're all in this together, you know?
Yeah.
I think it just works out better that way.
Heck yeah, it does. And it's kind of like what I think we had talked about this in an episode that, you know, the teachers need a teacher, and you need that community of teachers, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would not want to be the only yoga studio owner here, that would be so lonely.
I know.
So I'm glad that there are other yoga studios, and I hope they feel the same about me coming in. And, you know, I'm trying to just bring more yoga to the community, more awareness.
Certainly. And well, a different perspective, right? And yeah. It's like we all, like we've even talked about this in other podcasts, essentially, is about you start your practice with one teacher and maybe you find another one. And it's like a continuation of evolving, hopefully. I mean, that's our goal, right? Is to continue to evolve and to continue to learn. And you're going to be able to offer that for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
More opportunities for people. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, my studio may not be what someone's looking for, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be lots of vinyasa, and not everybody's into vinyasa. You know, we'll offer some other varieties, maybe like some kundalini, definitely some yin, because I love yin.
I do too.
But there will be some styles of yoga that we won't offer, yeah. And so people won't want to come to me, and that's totally fine. And I hope that there is a studio that they can go to that does offer that to yeah. them.
Yeah. Well, I'm just super excited for you, and thanks. I don't know. That's really thanks. A cool venture. It takes a lot of strength and best of luck to you.
And
but
support.
I'll be cheering you on. You know,
seriously, would not have been able to do it. It's just like not even done. I'm like talking like it's done. I wouldn't yeah. have been able to do it. It's only just begun.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have been able to even conceptualize being here without the support of people mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm confident in myself and my skills, but mm-hmm. I mean, I really didn't think I'd be able to do it. And I certainly haven't been able to do it alone. Like, I might be driving the ship, but I, like I said, I have a really, really good team, solid team behind me. That's rooting for me and going out of their way for me, and I like can't thank them enough. And so I just hope that I can live up to everybody's expectations and bring the community what I think we need mm-hmm. And hopefully that translates, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Yeah.
Big test.
Absolutely, I think so.
Yeah.
Do you want to maybe give out, like, your website or Instagram? Because I know you've changed from, you dropped the Ventura, so want to give us your...
Yeah, dropped the Ventura. So very important that the website for Ventura Grassroots Yoga is no longer, mm-hmm. so it's officially down. And the new website is www.grassrootsyogaventura.com. So the Ventura is still in there just because grassrootsyoga.com is already taken.
Yeah.
And... I wanted to just, I mean, it is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So grassrootsyogaventura.com. So all one word. That's the website. We're on a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of them Facebooks.
Them Facebooks, you got them.
And then...
I don't know why I said a country accent. I don't know.
Instagram handle has changed as well. So Ventura Grassroots Yoga is no longer. And the new Instagram handle is grassroots.yoga.vta.
Awesome.
And the biggest question that I've been getting from people is, will we still offer park classes? And the answer is yes. I don't know in what capacity
mm-hmm.
because things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
My stance with the city
mm-hmm.
because coming from a like donation-based business, It's just different
mm-hmm.
with the city rules and regulations. And so I kind of have to, like, see what that's going to be like now that we're turning into, like, a legitimate brick-and-mortar
yeah.
business.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what capacity. I don't know whether it's going to be once a week or twice a week or as workshops. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure yet. But the answer is yes, we still want to be outside because that's important to me because that's how we started.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I started, you know. And my very first class for Grassroots was on my birthday when I turned 30. I was like,
I'm turning 30 this year. Wow.
I was like, I this is what I want to do for my 30th birthday.
That's so cool.
I mean, I did other things for my 30th birthday, but on my 30th birthday, my actual...
You started a business.
Yeah, I unknowingly started a business because mm-hmm. that's not what I was going into it for.
Mm-hmm.
But the very first class that I offered at Arroyo Verde was on my birthday. And yeah, so 2 years... coming up here pretty shortly will be our 2-year anniversary in the parks.
Woo-hoo! That's
then,
cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Cool. Never did I think.
Well, we are going to be seeing you soon in a studio. I got stuck.
Studio. Yeah. And eating lots of burritos next door at Taco Solisco.
Yep.
bean, rice, cheese, avocado.
Oh my God.
I've already been there like 3 times. I'm going to be there a lot.
That's going to be great.
They have really good yummy food there.
I'm excited.
You know, on our podcast moving forward, I'll keep everyone updated on what's going on. But just, you know, expect to see it in fall.
Okay.
And follow, if you don't already, on Instagram and Facebook and follow along on the progress. There hasn't been a whole lot to show going on because it's all been kind of like boring, mundane stuff you guys don't care about. It's promise. But like, you know, we did pick out the floors.
I did see that on IG.
Uh-huh. On Friday, so we picked out the floor. So the exciting stuff I plan on like posting sharing, so that people can be a part, feel like they know what's going on. And obviously when the demo starts and the really fun stuff starts happening, I'll be like posting more and sharing more.
That's awesome. Okay. Hold on 1 second. We'll be right back. And we are back talking about our book club. We have been reading White Hot Truth by Danielle Laporte.
Yes, we have.
What chapters did we do again?
We've done one, two, and three. Mm-hmm. We've done 4, 5, and 6.
Awesome. So we're now doing 7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 9. Yeah. So 7 called Superhuman.
But it's not like as in superhuman, one word. It's as in superhuman, two words.
Being a superhuman, not
superhuman.
Not superhuman. You are a superhuman. Human. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
It makes sense in my head.
It makes sense. Well, we'll have to post something on our Instagram, which is at the collective space.
Space.
I cannot remember that. Okay, so at the underscore collective space, we'll differentiate between superhuman and superhuman.
Superhuman.
Yep. So what did you think of this chapter?
I liked it. I'm trying to look through my notes here.
I know. It's kind of interesting because she kind of brings up like different ways about how to become enlightened or her different practices that she has and how it's almost like you're torturing yourself kind of in a sense, right? And you feel like you have this need to be a superhuman, like you have to be that enlightened person who's levitating while you're meditating, you know?
Yeah.
And really, it's not necessarily like, I think she kind of, I might even be at the end of the chapter because this is a short chapter, but she says, you know, she doesn't necessarily want to be superhuman. She just wants to be a superhuman, like a good human, like trying our best at what we can.
So she's talking about being like real. I mean, this is a common theme of hers, is being real as opposed to being perfect.
Mm-hmm.
She feels like there's a sign of progress for Buddhism in the West by this distinction between like, you know, perfection and then just being real, which I think is nice because a lot of traditions want you to follow like very strict path.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of saying like it's kind of like an old school way of thinking, and the new school way of thinking is just how can we do our best and be good people at the same time.
Exactly And I think it's a key on being a good human.
Not being hard on ourselves, because if we're hard on ourselves, then we're hard on others. And that's really where it comes from. When we're compassionate and forgiving of ourselves and we allow ourselves to be more flexible, then we are able to do that for other people.
Absolutely.
Like she's saying how she has these, she says, if I didn't turn my weekly walks around my neighborhood lake into a walking meditation as per Thich Nhat Hanh, I felt like a slacker. And so she's like basically saying if she's not doing everything according to like the yogic way, that she's not being a good yogi.
Yeah. Oh, I feel that way sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been feeling that way. I think I even expressed to you. I haven't really been as practicing as much as I would love and probably really, to be honest, need. And it's like I've been getting really down on myself. I'm like, oh, I'm not doing what I should be doing, and I'm not good enough, or I'm not, you know, and it's like those old tapes play again in my head that I've worked so hard. But then it's like reading this just, again, just makes you realize we go through phases in our life, and it's okay for these lulls and these ups and these downs to occur, because she even says it's in those, I think she says it in like her bold writing, that for most of us the greatest growth comes from the black, mucky, fertile mess, you know. And she says relationships, but really like that is anything, like those dark times or those challenging times,
what we call like the down times. You know, like sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, And we need those downs.
Exactly.
To grow.
And if anything, like, it's really just making me really understand and, again, be reminded how vital and important yoga is to me in my life.
And sometimes
physical body, spiritual body, community, everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's totally okay. I mean, and she says, here's where I am now. I will not in any way torture myself to ascend.
Yes.
So she's just, like, letting herself be, you know, there's a more joyful route to soul expansion. I'm working on being a superhuman, not superhuman. It's kind of like, well, back to what we were saying.
Yeah. And she ends it, like, I think the very last words, ooh, you see, you have some writing on there. You like that one, huh?
Yeah.
She says, after years of wanting to ascend, I'm really just grateful to be here. I hope you can say the same.
Yeah. I so what I wrote underneath was, I wrote, desire to ascend, and then I put more. Basically, like, what that means is, like, more. Like, more. I need more. I have to have more. And then I put versus being grateful for what I already have and who I already am. So it's not always about what just we have, but who we are. Like, we can be grateful for who we are already without being like, I need to be this, or I need to be that, or I need to learn more, I need to be this person, I need more for myself, I need to attain more. When we can just be already be cool with who we are and still work hard and still want to learn more, but not have that identify us as like a lack.
Exactly.
Right?
So it's a mere way of how you're looking at it, right?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, exactly, perspective.
So like why it's like, so this is like seriously my favorite phrase ever. It's not what you're doing, it's why you're doing it. So going to lots of yoga teacher trainings, one after the other, like it's not that you're doing it, it's why you're doing it. So if you're doing it to like learn and you're already happy with who you are and you just want to expand and be more open-minded, I think that's cool. If you're going to many, many teacher trainings because you feel like you're not good enough and that you need that in order to be a good teacher, or you need more in order to be more, then that's not maybe like the right take. So again, it's not what you're doing, it's why you're doing it. It's okay to go out and party every now and then, but why are you going to party? Are you going to just, you know, socialize and be with your friends and like feel a sense of community? Or are you going to like escape? And,
exactly.
Like, you know, are you going to, for the sole reason to get intoxicated, to like get away from your problems?
Yeah.
Or are
escapism.
You, or are you going to hang out with your friends and be in a community social environment and there just happens to be beers or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is in my mind like an okay thing. But yeah, it's not what you're doing, it's why.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right, moving
so
on
was,
chapter 8.
Yeah, so on to
that
chapter 8.
That was a quick one.
That
quickie.
Was very quick.
Open, gentle heart. I'll leave you to that sentence.
Big fucking fence. And I...
I like the way you say the word.
Underlined fucking. Look, it's underlined.
Wow,
get a picture
girl,
of that.
Really, yep.
love the F-bomb. Yeah, big fucking fence. Boundaries for spiritual people. And I put underneath it, already love...
Right?
I
mean, I think we've already kind of talked about this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a common theme that I think not only Danielle Laporte has talked about already, but something she's obviously clearly trying to exclamation point, you know? It's one thing to be spiritual, open-hearted, gentle, and loving, but not at the cost of sacrificing your integrity or yourself or your own boundaries or your health or wellness.
Yeah.
For the sake of what?
Yeah.
For someone else to not care about how you feel? Like, no way. Like, if you're not taking care of yourself.
You can't take care of anyone.
Exactly.
And she talks about tolerance, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm all for the kind of tolerance that happens when your heart is so big that you can give ample space to opinions that differ from yours.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of puts in italics, you be you, I'll be me, and maybe we can meet in the middle for a green juice and a beer. She said that type of tolerance is deliciously sophisticated.
It's beautiful.
And I put in the next to it, I put Trump versus Obama. Because I think
Obama.
What I think is really beautiful is when people can be really hardcore supporters of Obama or Trump.
Yeah.
But still be like friends.
Exactly.
You know, both be really set on who you like, on your political viewpoints or your spiritual viewpoints, your religion, anything like that. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's like, but we're all still friends and I still love you and I still respect you.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
I like the example she gave as far as her friend, you know, with the guy and the massage therapist.
Dick. I wrote LOL. I was laughing.
Yeah, she named
them. She just says, let's call them Sasha and Dick. So funny.
Oh, Danielle Laporte, you're amazing.
So good.
But, you know, she just talks about, kind of gives a scenario of what happened as far as the husband was a massage therapist and there was a client, right, who kind of overstepped her boundary. Mm-hmm. And instead of the husband respectfully declining to see that woman who overstepped a boundary, making sure that the wife was the priority, essentially, it's like the wife was like, oh, well, I have to be understanding and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's like, again, and this is an example of her not clearly setting her boundaries
yeah.
of their relationship, their marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, it made her uncomfortable, and mm-hmm. instead of her setting boundaries, she kind of
dismissed.
Stepped back mm-hmm. and then was unhappy. But it's, you know, that's what happens when you don't set boundaries for yourself, for sure.
So she says, like, at the end when this couple broke up, the girls were together, and she was like, so why did you stay with this guy named Dick yeah. for so long? And Sasha, this woman, said, I thought I could love him into changing. My mm-hmm. loyalty was, like, insane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many? I mean, I can even speak for myself. I've even been in that place where you think you can love someone so much that they will change, and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. And if they ever change, it's not because of you.
Exactly.
It's because they've changed on their own terms.
It has to come from yourself. Like, that is the bottom line. The thing I've learned from recovery, the thing I've learned in anything, like, the spark of change and the desire to change has to come from within. You know, it can be inspired by people, obviously, externally, but you cannot force anyone into changing. If anything, that'll avert them to do the opposite. You know?
Yeah.
And
sure.
Especially romantic relationships. I mean, that's just an awful place to be in, because then you step into the role of being like a mom.
Well, also, it comes from kind of a selfish way, because you're trying to get them to change for mm-hmm. you and not, you know?
Yeah.
And I think she says in here, too,
yeah.
many of us growth-oriented individuals use what we call, quote-unquote, love as a mm-hmm. form of power
yeah.
to try to get people to conform to meet our needs.
Exactly.
So people...
Which is conditioned love. It's not unconditional love.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're basically saying, like, I love you, but you have to be this way.
Exactly.
In order to make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't work.
And then she segues into narcissism.
Oh, yeah. we've got to talk about narcissism, is what she says.
Yeah. Which is very fascinating, because for me, this really draws a lot of what I've experienced in past relationship. Not saying any names, because that's rude, but... narcissistic qualities. I had read, or I'd been told about how very empathetic people, and I think we maybe even talked about this before, can, and she even says it in here, people who sniff yeah. empathetic people like bloodhounds are highly narcissistic people. Because that's like a beautiful fit, right? You have someone who feels a lot, who's very empathetic, very kind, loving, supportive, mm-hmm. found by someone who's very much about themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like a perfect combination. Someone who's willing
yeah,
to bend backwards.
Storm.
It is. And yeah. it sets, you
and
know.
Narcissists prey on empaths.
Yes.
They really do. And I've seen it happen before.
Mm-hmm.
And
same.
Before I was able to kind of set my own boundaries, like, it would totally happen to me.
Yep.
And like, before, if I wasn't paying attention, before I'd know it, I'd be like in a huge clusterfuck shitstorm.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, how am I a part of this,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'd be like, you know, it's because I'd never set boundaries.
Certainly.
And I'm just as much to blame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I let this person take advantage of my energy or my kindness. Or
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say, like, we shouldn't be kind.
Yeah.
But it's definitely kind of like a gray area. And it's different for everyone. Your boundaries are going to be different.
Certainly,
right?
Yeah.
And the more in tune you are with your boundaries, and the more you start to set them, you can start to learn, like,
yeah.
what your boundaries really entail.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but that requires you also to learn yourself, right? And with every opportunity, it's an opportunity to learn from yourself, but that's the key. We have to be willing and open to learn,
mm-hmm.
or eager to learn. But I also found it interesting, too, she talks about and brings up different scenarios about narcissism, kind of the bad narcissism, and then a healthy narcissism.
Yeah,
right? We all have a healthy sense of ourselves, you know, and narcissism. But she kind of says, this is what I liked. She's like, I define healthy narcissism as I'm all about me and I can be all about you. In fact, I take great pleasure in being both.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of beautiful. I mean, that's awesome, right? You're good enough with yourself to know who you are and be strong in yourself, able to set boundaries, which allows you to show up for someone in just as equally of a strong way.
Yeah, and being confident doesn't mean that you're arrogant.
Exactly.
And then she says, your confidence doesn't get in the way of genuine connection and intimacy, and your self-interest doesn't become a superiority complex. That's healthy narcissism.
Yeah.
And I really like that, because I think that in society, we've tried so hard to be selfless that I think the point has kind of like gotten away, and that we're kind of moving into this idea that we can't be confident or we can't love ourselves, or like, God forbid we do something for ourselves because that's fucking selfish.
Yes. You know, this is really strange that you bring this up, and this totally sparked this scenario that happened in my business class that I was telling you I was taking.
Yeah.
It's with Women Economic Ventures, Weave, and we were talking about finances. She's like, this is what my professor, I love her so much, she told us the topic we were talking about, and she's like, success. We define success as giving women or people the opportunity to be financially empowered or independent. And that requires them to make a profit, right? You're going into business to make a profit. And so she kind of continued on talking about that. And, you know, we were talking about success. And one of the women raised her hand and was like, well, what if you don't define success by money? And the teacher was like, I absolutely understand what you're saying, but this is where we're wrong. She's like, women have a tendency to say, oh, we don't need to make money, or business isn't about, or success isn't about making money. Like, and she kind of combated that mentality, right? Because if you see it, I mean, you're going into business to make a profit, to make a living, to be financially free, to have choices, you know, to travel, to have that independence and that freedom, essentially, with what can come with money, right? And so she was like, that's where we're getting it wrong. It's like somewhere along the line, us women became ashamed, or we didn't think, you know, it was okay for us to make money.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. And I kind of sat back and observed like this dialogue going on, and it was really awesome, because it's like, they're both right, right? We can define success however we want, but it was kind of beautiful to see her be like, no, we can stand proud to be a woman and still be like, no, you bet your ass I'm going to work hard and I'm going to make money.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that. I thought that was beautiful, because if the scenario was with a man, there'd be no question.
Yeah, because they're used to, that's the one, that's their whole goal. And they have it backwards too, because their whole goal in life is to make money.
It's like a...
and not feel like worthy.
Yeah. So it kind of just that, I don't know why that spawned my thought, but it did, yeah.
No, I mean, and I was just going to go off of what you were saying. There are two ways to look at that. I feel like I'm almost like split personality sometimes. Like there's a part of me that's like super realistic, like very like fact oriented. And then there's a part of me that's like very spiritual and faith-based and whatever else, metaphysical. But so while that story that you tell, the one way that I look at it from my realist perspective is like, we were talking about something earlier when I was like, that's all fine and great, but that's not realistic. You know, that's not the world we live in. We do live in a world that is based on money.
Yeah.
I mean, we try our best to like not make life about money. But at the end of the day, we have to make money.
Yeah, we need money.
We have to be financially secure. We don't want to like go over and above and beyond and make that our whole life goal. But we all want to be comfortable. We all want to live a comfortable life and have a comfortable house and be able to provide for our children and send our children to college.
It gives us the opportunity to make choices. And to be able to make choices gives you the opportunity to be free, right? I mean, doesn't that make you feel free to be able to have a choice?
Yeah. And as a business owner, you know, especially in the yoga industry, it's something that's highly prominent in my mind too.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, yoga is supposed to be such a spiritual giving, but like at the same time, I'm a business owner. Like at the end of the day, we still have to make money and be a business and run a business and grow and feel financially stable. So, you know, I've had a battle with that even ground where
Well,
it's
and that's
like,
beautiful though. I mean, you're finding that balance and you have that balance. I mean, think about it. You're in your structure of your business. You have it where you're giving back.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
And
that's,
you want to keep that cycle going.
And that's a beautiful model to emulate and just to be like a role model for people.
And I don't think that every business has to like financially give back in order to give back. There are many different ways to give back. And sometimes simply your services giving back And I want that to be important too,
yeah.
that people are getting something from mm-hmm. paying their membership. It's not like they're not getting anything if we don't give anything to charity. I mean, they're still going to get like an excellent service, but it's just kind of icing on the cake for me.
For sure. For sure.
But then to go back. So that was my realist perspective. Mm-hmm. That's lovely, but that's not the life. That's not the world we live in.
Yeah.
But from the other side, you also want to look at it from an energetic perspective.
Yeah.
So if you are giving, 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 you need to get.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be...
You're out of balance.
You need to receive mm-hmm. as well. And then this goes the other way. If you're receiving, 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 you want to make sure that you're giving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget my Reiki master, Kelly Evans, if you want to see her. She's awesome. When I first started this, I don't know if this was a part of my whole thing when we gave our background or not. So sorry if I'm repeating myself. But when I was practicing, doing my home practice, and my friend started saying, like, can we, like, follow along with you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, I guess. You know, I'm not a teacher, but sure. And then people would want to, like, give me money. They'd be like, well, can we give you, like, $5? And I was always like, no, no, no. No, no, no. Like, this is just out of the kindness of my heart, you know, and I can't take money from my friends. And when I saw my Reiki master, she was like, wait, so why aren't you taking money if people, or why aren't you taking like donations? People are trying to give you money. And I'm like, I don't know, it feels wrong, you know, like they're
mm-hmm.
my friends. I don't know. And I'm not a teacher. And she's like, that's not how the universe works. The universe is constant give and take. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the yin and the yang. There's a give and a pull, an ebb and a flow. I mean, everything ebbs and flows. The waves come in, the waves go out. The yeah. moon comes around, the tides change. Like, everything is pushing a and cycle. Pulling constantly yeah. in this cycle. And if I'm giving to my friends, whether it be a class or, you know, whether or not.
It's only the natural flow for it to give yeah. back
so
to you.
So I yeah. need to, like, tell the universe that this is a natural flow. Because when you're blocking that off, when you're saying no, don't give me anything. She, and this is exactly what she said to me. You are telling the universe now that you are not good enough.
Ah.
By, like, not accepting what people are trying to give you, and you're just giving, giving, giving yourself, you're not being selfless. You're telling the universe that you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so that area of your life will never grow.
Interesting.
So, as a business owner, like, you want
it's mindful. That's success. Very yeah.
Because
absolutely.
If you're saying, like, well, you know, it's not important to grow, or it's not important to, like, get money and all that, like, you're essentially saying, like, I'm not good enough to grow. I'm not good enough to receive
yeah.
money or to receive the gift. I mean, I keep saying money because that's just our natural exchange
yeah.
in the country we live in. Yeah. But
that's the thing, like, the success of your business is the success of everyone that's also going there as well, right? Because that means they're
yeah.
continually growing yeah. as well. Like, it's like that's awesome.
Unfortunately, we do vote yeah. with our dollar
yeah.
here in America, mm-hmm. so we do kind of have to, like, talk about money and make money a thing, because that's our biggest way to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I could get into a whole thing about voting with the dollar and how money is more important than people think.
Yeah.
It's not just
for sure. We
money is not just an evil thing. It's a way. It's a tool to be
absolutely
empowered.
And that's a great way that you just brought that up, because that's a whole thing I'm learning in this class too, as well. It's like becoming financially fluent.
Yeah.
And literate. And yeah. we're not taught that. We're not taught to be financially literate. And a lot of us feel like we're not entitled to have it. We're not good enough to have it. And it keeps the cycle alive, right? When it's like, it can be used as a tool
yeah.
for our freedom. It can be used as a tool. And it's like, I just wish we were taught these things. And maybe that could be one of our podcasts later down the road.
But that's pretty, like, heady.
Oh, for
you
sure.
You know, like, that's not really something, like, that's a really philosophical way to look at money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of, like, using money as a tool
yeah.
as opposed to, like, using money to buy things I like,
yeah.
you know, buying a new pair of pants, like, instead of just, like, buying things we like, can we use money as a tool to vote,
mm-hmm.
to make changes?
Certainly, yeah.
To bring into power all the things that we go to war over?
Yeah.
Why don't we just vote with our fucking dollar instead? Yeah. I mean, I could go on forever.
We'll have to do this.
Don't get me started.
So, back to the book.
Back to the book.
So again, she talks about boundaries, fences that support your freedom. I thought that was really awesome.
Yes.
Because I often kind of had a hard time understanding boundaries as well. You know, it's hard. It's hard to set a boundary because you feel like you're going to piss someone off or they're not going to like you because you're having to set a boundary, you know. But it's really, it's not about being closed down. It's really just about, this is funny because it's just like what you said. She says here, I was too much flow and not enough restraint. I was a river in need of some riverbanks. I overpaid people because love is generous. It's just like, you know.
Yeah, I overpay. I know so many people that just give. Or like they go out to dinner, and although it is nice to like over tip people and make that like a special occasion, and if there's, again, it's not what you're doing, it's why you're doing it. But if you're like just overpaying people because you're like, well, that's what love is, that's what selflessness is, just give it all away, like that's not really,
it's unhealthy for yourself.
It's not really like it's not gonna work out. But just making the choices you make come from like a reason is, I think, more what it's about. Because love is generous. I let shoddy behavior slide because love is forgiving, right? And so all these, we kind of get caught up in those perspectives. And the same with like compassion. I think nowadays we blurred the lines between compassion and like just overall kindness. Like compassion means being kind and compassion means forgiving. And it's like, it does, but not all the time. You know, like compassion is being empathetic and understanding and feeling, wanting the best for that person. Compassion does not mean you let that person do whatever the fuck they want. Like, right? You know, I mean, you still.
I love just your face right now. Man, that was intense. Just FYI. Sarah just gave a very intense face.
We should start video casting so that I can look right into the camera when I say
that. That was locked and loaded. I really like, if you didn't know this about this book already, at the very back of the book, Danielle Laporte does this kind of breakdown of each chapter, and she has these really cool questions that you can either just work through yourself and ask. But there was one I wanted to ask us, Sarah, on chapter 8. And I just thought it was really cool. So what qualities does someone need to have to get through the big fucking fence that protects your open heart, your gentle heart? So what qualities does someone need to have for you?
For me, I try to feel out whether that person knows who they are. And it's not that I like have anything against people that are still trying to figure it out, but it's a way for me to gauge my boundaries, because I feel like someone knows who they are and what they want, and they know exactly, like, you know, their jam, they're on it, you know, like they know themselves.
They know their mama jamma.
If they know themselves, then they're going to be easier to confide in, easier to trust. So I guess, you know, trusting, I feel it's so cliche, you got to trust them.
No, I mean, it's...
It's true. And people that are still figuring their stuff out, nothing against that at all. But my boundaries are different with those people, right? So like just different boundaries with different people. My boundaries aren't all the same. But for me to allow people into my life, I want those people to know who they are and have a solid grasp on that, because then we're clear on, I know who you are, I know who I am, my boundaries are clear, your boundaries are clear, probably going to work out. But when people don't know who they are and they're trying to figure it out and they don't have boundaries, then that like kind of fucks me up. And like, I don't know what you want. What do you want from me? You know, like, I don't know what to give you. Or like, or the opposite, whereas like, I might push too much on them and they indirectly overstep their boundaries. And then they're mad at me, but they don't know why. And then shit just gets all fucked up.
It gets weird.
But it's nice to have someone be in your life that knows their own boundaries. It's easier that way. What about you?
The first word that popped into my head when I read that question was the quality of sincerity. I just think that word says it all for me initially. I think if someone's sincere, it's just something, it's like a deep, real quality that you can't fake. And if you fake it, it doesn't work. Again, it goes back to smelling the bullshit. You can just sniff it, you know?
And intention.
Exactly. I mean,
those words are almost interchangeable, sincerity and intention. But it's like...
Because even if you're sincere, but you're being an asshole, like at least you're sincere about being an asshole. Like, good for you. Like, I can deal with that, you know? If you're like... like.
Or if their intention awesome. Is coming from a good place.
Yeah.
No, people make mistakes.
For sure.
Or people may do things that I don't agree with.
Yes, but you can still be tolerable.
But if their intention is good,
yeah.
I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah.
Like if someone does something that I'm like, I personally wouldn't do that. You know, like that makes me feel weird or not mm-hmm. right. But if that person is doing it because they think that's for the greater good, mm-hmm. or if that person is doing it because they're being kind, they're trying to be kind,
mm-hmm.
I am totally fine with that.
Yeah.
It's when people are doing things and they know that's not right.
Yeah.
Or their intention is to degrade yeah. or suck energy or to shut people down yeah. or if their intention is not good, then I'm not okay with what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I think sincerity for sure. 'Cause I don't know. I've had a lot, like, I feel like I was really bad with the boundary thing and not having a fence 'cause I just didn't want to piss people off, which I've said before in podcasts, I was the appeaser. I didn't want argument. I didn't like the struggle, which then led to me stuffing things and not really yeah. letting my voice be heard, which led to a lot of anger issues and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Fast forward. But I've learned. That was actually one of the things that when I went through a recovery program, it actually it was super silly, but it was, this is how we set boundaries, you know? And it was like a literal breakdown of, as an adult, how to set a boundary, what it meant to be assertive. Doesn't mean you're being an asshole,
yeah.
but means like you're
standing up for
yourself. Yeah. And it feels good.
Respect like, yourself.
Yeah. And there's a way in which you can say it where it's really just not attacking, not being rude. You're yeah. just like, hey, this is, you know, my thing. And you can respect that. And if it works out, awesome. And we can, whatever. If it doesn't, then we, yeah. You know, it's like, it doesn't have to be such a dramatic thing, which I've learned over
well,
time.
Well, also, it doesn't have to be overanalyzed into stuff.
Exactly.
You know, like if yeah. I say, Casey, you know, and actually, I mean, a good example, you and I have with our development of the yeah. podcast, mm-hmm. like there have been times where I've had to come and you've had to come and, you know, we have had to work that out. Hey,
absolutely.
I don't really like that. I have to mm-hmm. be honest, you know? And so, and it's not personal. It's just,
no.
you know, I'm not really digging it.
Exactly.
And then for you to like not take it personally is what it's all about, right? Because mm-hmm. it's not personal.
No.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's nothing more, like, attractive to me in a person, and I don't mean, like, sexually attractive, just, like, attractive.
Well, thank you, Sarah, I'm kidding.
You're super sexy.
Thank you so much.
But I just mean attractive as, like, an energetic force, but mm-hmm. there's nothing more attractive to me in a person than when they have self-respect.
Yes.
When people respect themselves, fucking love that.
Yes.
Like, I dig that. And that just makes me feel more comfortable. Because when people don't respect themselves and they, like, feel empty, that's when, like, feelings get hurt and they take yeah. things you say and, like, make it personal. And it's just, like, you have to walk on eggshells. And
yeah.
it's, like, when people have self-respect, it's, like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Well, what you say, though, too, that's like a reflection of, like, if they respect themselves, they've obviously done the work.
Yeah.
And that, in turn, like, they obviously know how to respect other people.
Yes.
Right? Because it's
course.
Like, if you can love yourself, you know how to love other people. If you can respect yourself, you'll know how to respect other people. It's
well,
kind of like a...
how we treat other people is the way
we treat
ourselves.
How we treat ourselves, for
and,
sure.
Ooh, which is another reason why we need to have compassion for people.
Mm-hmm.
Because often the people that are being the biggest assholes to us are
hurting assholes to themselves
the most. Like yeah. if someone judges you, mm-hmm. period, they're judging themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do it too. Like
we
if
all
I'm
do.
Super judgy about one certain thing, that's usually because I'm super judgy to myself about that same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we often project, you know, on others how we feel, exactly how we feel about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So again, there's no greater quality than self-respect. Because then, yeah, like you said, that means that they're probably going to be pretty respectful to other people.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Chapter 9. Should we move on?
Yeah. Actually, hold on. Let me okay. look through really quick.
You got some notes, girl.
I know.
I did not write my notes.
I liked this chapter.
I need to get better at my note writing.
Is this my... Yeah, I did. At the end, I wrote favorite chapter so far. So she...
I love her.
She's talking about this portion is called Not Everyone Is Your Mirror, okay?
Ooh.
Because there's a... Mm-hmm. There's the thing in yoga where it's said that the people that come into your lives, you've like energetically attracted that, and it's like a mirror to how you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are kind of like shitty in your life, you're supposed to take the stance of like, well, how am I being shitty? Like, how am I being like that?
Mm-hmm.
And so the universe is a reflection of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying, like, I agree with that 100%. However, just because a total jerk is, like, being brought into your reality doesn't mean that they're mirroring your inner jerkness.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that they're a jerk and you're not, and that the only thing you need to work on is how you deal with them.
Yeah.
And I like that.
I do, too.
Because I think that's so true.
Mm-hmm. I liked the 20th century mystic that she mentioned. I don't even know how to say his name. Gurdjieff?
Where? What page?
Page 102.
Mm.
And she says that this century mystic, or 20th century, whatever. This person said, we are all idiots of one kind or another.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you gotta love a straight-talking mystic.
Idiot compassion?
Yeah.
Because in this next paragraph, which I highlighted, look at, I like highlighted it, circled it.
Damn, girl, you did like every mark you could do on, like, that one paragraph.
Fist pumping.
That was awesome. Lighting, dude, I really need to have a camera on you.
Lighting fireworks.
You are animated tonight, and I think your bun just made it a little bit more intense.
My messy bun flopping around. The bun is flying.
Bun is flying. You know it's getting
when
real.
The messy buns are flying. I'm really into it.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, so, but she tells a story. She says, at some point in your life, erecting boundaries between you and others might feel like the most trying, demanding, gut-wrenching, impossible work that you've ever been forced to do. You might worry about being cut out of the will, or being kept from your dreams, or that lies are circulated about you by the people on the other side of your boundaries. They will hurl, I knew it! I knew you were this way, or I knew you were cold, I knew you were flighty, I knew you were capable of this. And at the end she says, yes. Yes, I am capable of this. This marvelous thing called having standards. I love it. It's
that is
perfect.
Beautiful. And that is on page 105. I recommend you as well. Highlight it, circle it, exclamation point it.
Flop the bun around, fist pump, scream, shout.
It will be a great experience for you.
Yeah. I think that's pretty.
That's pretty the gist of chapter 8.
Moral of the story is I really liked this chapter a lot.
So reread it.
Favorite chapter so far. And I wrote at the end, always start with you. Always, always, always start with yourself.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Look, I even wrote all this shit at the end. Jesus
Christ. Oh, you're so cute.
I was like a beautiful mind.
Aww,
all like writing
I
all
love
crazy.
It.
God, I like really went at it.
Yeah, it's great. Any little nuggets you want to share with us from your writing?
I put the distinction between like reading and actually being. Like, mm-hmm. We can read all the books in the world and take all the classes we want, but actually being that. Living it is another story.
For sure.
And it's hard. It's really hard. Mm-hmm. You know, and even as teachers, as yoga teachers, like, we sure know a lot, but we haven't been through all of it. And mm-hmm. We're doing it,
mm-hmm.
right? We're going through it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I wrote, you know, Sri Patabi Joyce, just like his classic quote, yoga is 99% practice and 1% theory.
Mm.
So it's all about the actual practice and not asana practice, mm-hmm. per se. But living the theory,
mm-hmm.
in your daily life, you know, 99% practice, 99% living it, and just 1%. You only need the 1% of the theory.
That's awesome. I like it, little nuggets. Thank you for sharing.
Little nuggets, yeah.
All right, chapter 9, ready to forgive, the complicated, gritty path to grace. Ooh, that just sounds rough.
Nitty gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But the quote she starts off with is pretty fancy and amazing. If your compassion does not include yourself, it is incomplete. And that is by Jack Kornfield.
I love Jack Kornfield.
We love you some Kornfield.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome.
Yeah, again, going back to that whole, we've gotten into this thing. We're just like, it's like we're not allowed to love ourselves.
Because
it's like, oh, that's so selfish.
Yeah.
No, actually.
Like, forgive yourself for not wanting to forgive, right? Because we always feel that resistance at the beginning.
And how it's okay to be that way.
Yeah.
It's okay
and
to
how
say
it's like
I'm
a part
ready.
Of the process to heal.
Yeah.
Like, figure that out. Let that be. Because that's
I'm
obviously something you're still.
Yeah. She's saying, like, you know, it's okay to not be ready.
Yeah.
It's, and again, I mean, she says, like, basically it's the intention.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with the intention is what you need. Like, if you intend to work on forgiving, then you're already on the way.
Yeah.
But you don't have to actually forgive, be living the path of forgiveness. Like, forgiveness is a series of events,
mm-hmm.
that she says, like, happens organically.
Mm-hmm.
She says forgiveness is usually an organic and utterly inefficient process. Yeah, inefficient process, right? So, like, you don't have to work so hard. That if you just intend to forgive, and
it'll naturally
it'll
happen.
Like naturally happen yeah. over time.
It and will.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
And with time, I think key ingredients on forgiveness factor is time.
Yeah, give right? yourself time. And there is no set time. You can't say, mm-mm. in 6 months from now, I need to be over this, or I need to forgive, or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't know how long that's going to take, but if you intend to forgive, and you just intend to be compassionate, then...
You're planting the seed.
You plant the seed, and then organically, it just kind of yeah. grows.
At the back of the chapter, she asks a really good question. Can I ask you?
Okay.
Have you ever held back on forgiving, and been comfortable doing so, and what was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, I think because going back to, like, boundaries,
mm-hmm.
I think, like, if you don't understand what boundaries mean, then you equate forgiveness to losing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, saying, like, I'm not forgiving that person because in
it's
your
like a
mind...
It's like a pride ego thing, right?
Yeah, like, in your mind, yeah. And I think she might have even touched on this in here, that if I forgive you, that means you win and I lose.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to understand that, like, you can still forgive and have boundaries. You can still forgive and say, like, yeah, but you're not going to be part of my life ever.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness does not mean forget. Does not mean go back to the way things used to be. It doesn't mean I now want you a part of my life or anything like that. And so if you don't understand your boundaries, and I think I used to be that way where I didn't understand boundaries so much.
Yeah.
I wasn't, like, clear on it. And so...
And that's still something, right, that we kind of learn as we go with certain
process,
situations.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think, back in the day, I would, like, be hesitant to forgive because I, like, subconsciously would equate that to, like, losing or, like, oh, well, they're good. That means that they're right and I'm wrong. And it doesn't mean that at all.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And you don't even have to tell that person you forgive them.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can forgive people in your own capacity without being, like, forgive you for everything you've ever done. Like, you don't have to, doesn't equal forgiveness. Forgiveness is what you, a gift you give to yourself.
For sure.
It doesn't have to be shared with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote at the end, in my own experience, learning to forgive for me, the process that I'm on now, using hurt and anger in a positive way until that forgiveness kind of happens organically. Has been kind of like my thing because, I mean, hurt and anger happens. That's the root of forgiveness, right? Like, you, in order to forgive, there has to be, like, hurt before that. Otherwise, there's nothing to forgive, right?
Yeah.
Am I, like, getting, like, super philosophical?
No, you're not.
I feel like I'm, like, floating up into the,
I think you're,
like,
floating right now.
heavens right now. And, like, there's just, like, weird, like...
the clouds are
universal
breaking.
Universal gases
angels
everywhere.
Angels are coming
and
through.
And weird shit. I'm not on drugs. But, so, I mean, there has to be, in order to forgive, there has to be, like, hurt or anger or something that, like, precedes it. So, in order to...
Like a sense of betrayal.
A betrayal. I mean, yeah. So, betrayal causes hurt and anger.
Yeah.
So, in order to kind of move along that path, I feel like you have to take that hurt and that anger and use it in a positive way. I don't think you should ever, like, stuff it away.
No, that's when you get into trouble.
That's when you get into trouble.
Yeah.
But
that's when it starts
it.
To pop out in maybe not so healthy ways.
Yeah.
You
in
know?
In your life, in other
been
lives.
There. Yeah.
We've all been there.
Hard.
But using that hurt and that anger positively and
yeah.
just organically, you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that person.
Yeah.
I hope they're doing well.
For sure. And see, right? And I think that was something I learned too as I've gotten older or just had more life experience or whatever that might be. But it's like you get comfortable with understanding, okay, like I feel angry and it's okay that I feel angry. And you can sit with your anger and not necessarily have to do anything with it. Like allowing your emotions to exist in the full form that they are without having to try to manipulate them or change them or step them away is kind of a empowering thing. Because again, it's like, you know, what you're going through, what you've gone through, or like, you know, what you've said before, it's like being sure of yourself is also that strength of allowing whatever is going to come up for you to be, right? Because that's like something obviously that you're needing to work through, learn through, or maybe you're still learning the skills to address certain things, or like us, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's fascinating.
And being okay with that's who you
where
are,
you're at.
With who you are.
Exactly.
You know, like maybe you're just a person that is more susceptible to anger or more susceptible to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And just being okay with who you are and working on it and doing your best.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
Exactly. And also forgiving yourself, my friends, that's a good one. You know, that one, I think I kind of like forgiving yourself is not always on there. It's, you know, I think a lot of times we're taught like, oh, forgive people. But you also got to remember to forgive yourself too. Yeah. Forgive yourself for acting like an asshole, or forgive yourself for making bad decisions when you were young and you didn't know better, or forgive yourself for whatever is going to happen in the future. Like, we're human, you know? If we are meant to be perfect in this life, then I don't know, would that be heaven?
Hold on.
What just happened?
Our brains are like firing, they're glitching.
Where's Brooke when we need her? Oh, I can't do this alone.
I know. Neurons that fire together, wire together.
I almost brought you marinara sauce today.
Oh my god.
I have two jars at home that I'm trying to get rid of because I like, don't need a ton of tomatoes anymore. And I was like, yeah, I should totally bring these to Casey. Marinara.
We were trying to say mirror neurons, and then mine somehow evolved because we said it like 5 times. You did.
I said
excellent.
10.
Excellent.
10. It.
You nailed it. I did like 4, and I started sounding like
marinara.
Marinara. I love spaghetti. What can I say? Should have been Italian.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. So that was great. What are our next chapters?
I don't know. What time is it? That clock is wrong.
No. I have no idea. 9:30.
It's 9:30?
It's late, girlfriend.
It's 9:30. I've been here since 6.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm. That clock says 5:15.
I'm going to pee myself.
That clock says 5:15. It's not 5:15.
Next chapters, 10, 11, 12.
Correct.
Yes. So 10, 11, 12, please join us for that. Our next podcast will be coming out in 2 weeks after this. But I think you and I are taking a yoga class tomorrow morning, yeah?
We are. We're going up to the new place, Peak.
Yep.
In Ojai, mm-hmm. a heated vinyasa studio. I'm really excited. I've heard good things.
I'm excited,
so
too.
We'll go up there and check it out. Say hello to them.
And then we'll look forward to hanging out with you guys next time. But please send us your comments, questions, anything, feedback, good, bad, indifferent, whatever. Hell yes.
Hell yes. Hell no's.
All
set some
it.
Boundaries. Practice your boundaries.
Yeah, we'll take them. We'll help you. It's at hello.collectivespace@gmail.com. Or you can go to our lovely website. It's www.thecollectivespace.org or Instagram.
The_collectivespace.
You said that so serious.
I had to think about it. Yeah.
So that's great. We're going to...
So that's it. That's so great. I feel delirious. I need to eat dinner.
I know, me too. I'm like, what is that noise? Oh, it's my stomach.
It's my stomach.
Yep.
Who's in here?
It's getting weird. Okay, so we'll see you next time. Thank you, Sarah, for being
Thanks.
Amazing. Congratulations again on grassroots yoga. It's going to be incredible. I'm looking forward to seeing your growth and just the possibilities and just, you know.
Looking forward to having you.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll catch up with you next time.
Cool. Right. Adios, muchachos.
A space for you,
me,
and everyone. Welcome to the Collective Space.